Greetings, everyone. This is Koku from the Bitter Medicine Podcast, inviting you to tune in to the Bitter Medicine Podcast on KWAZ Radio.
Peace, family. This is Oni, inviting you to listen to the pro-black perspective, where black problems are addressed with black solutions.
Welcome to episode 22 of the Harsh Reality Podcast. I'm your host, DA, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, first the one and only, Mr. L. Miguel.
Glad to be back for another week.
Definitely. And of course, our director of media relations, Rise, still on maternity leave. So, you know, rest up. We'll see you back after you drop that youngin'. And on this podcast, we plan to hit on various topics revolving around the latest news, business, family life, hip hop, social commentary, any recent headlines that affect our community. And disclaimer, by no means are we experts, just everyday people with a small platform here to add our two cents to the various subjects we plan on discussing today. And also make sure y'all follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Harsh Reality Podcast. Get those follows up. Firstly, got a shout out. Melanated Conscious Society, MCS, headquartered in Jacksonville, Florida, is a mentorship organization teaching various life skills as well as knowledge of self to the youth. Make sure y'all follow them on Facebook and Instagram for latest news, meetings, and valuable information. Also, I'll be amiss if I didn't shout out the KWAZ Radio family. KWAZ providing the latest and greatest in conscientious-oriented content. Make sure y'all follow them on all forms of social media. And make sure y'all subscribe to the Bitter Medicine Podcast, hosted by Koku, and a pro-black perspective hosted by the brother Oni. And lastly, we're on Patreon. Please donate. And the proceeds are going to go to upgrading the show, providing the best content we can for loyal listeners. Maybe we can get some more high-end guests who want to get flued out, you know. And also for those that can be featured in our business spotlight, make sure y'all reach out to the show and drop us an email at theharshrealitypod@gmail.com. for any questions, concerns, or comments. And now, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into these topics, brother. And the first thing we got, old Bill William Cosby is free. Thoughts? And I've been seeing a lot of different pundit takes and kind of uninformed takes on how the legal system functions. So I kind of want to hit on that because we have seem to have a disconnect between emotional response and the due process of the law. You know what I'm saying?
So I mean, I'm kind of confused at this point too, though. You know, like based off of, you know, looking at why he was convicted and then the information as why he was freed, it puts it into a perpetual loop, right? Why was he ever convicted in the first place if he already paid out a settlement, was freed? I have no clue of how that even stood in court. But I'm glad to see Bill. Mr. Bill Cosby at his age, out of prison. He could never get his career back. He could probably never get his stature and his footing and, you know, as far as his influence back, and what he meant to not only the world and probably the influence that he had to make change, but also the Black community. The Black community is heavily divided when Bill Cosby was charged. A lot of Black women were advocating for him to do time and do more time. I'm confused too. I'm not even gonna lie. I can't even make sense of the matter. When I read into it, what he paid out to the prosecutor, I think he not paid to the prosecutor, but you know, he had a settlement for what, $3.36 million. And it came in 2006 at that, right? So he paid this money out in 2006 and then got charged anyway. I'll be looking, that's a straight jux, illegal jux. Like, you took my money and then you locked me up anyway. Like, how did that even stand? You know, like, how did that
it's even worse than that, because, you know, and shout out, because I knew about this. It's this podcast I listened to, the Propaganda Report, with Monica Perez, man. And she hit on this like, I listened to hers talk about this like a year and a half ago. And she was talking about how he's finna be free because they basically went was straight unconstitutional what they did. So he basically, you know, paid out, like you said, the civil case. And part of that is you got to give the disposition, right? And what they did was they took that testimony from himself and then applied it and charged him criminally. So they basically like double entendre. They basically charged him twice for the crime, right? Because he paid out the money. They did a civil case. And then you took that evidence that's supposed to be sealed after he paid that bread and used that to charge him criminally later on. That same testimony against the Fifth Amendment.
Where you can't incriminate yourself in court.
Exactly. It's a straight Fifth Amendment violation. And regardless of how you feel about, you know, the case, and honestly, Bill probably is a big old creep. I heard about him, you know, running around with young chicks way back in the day. He was at Hugh Hef Mansion getting it in, you know what I mean? So regardless of how you feel about Bill, the fact remains you should still stand with your amendment rights, because one of these days you might be on the other end of the table yourself staring down at some shady stuff and get railroaded under that. So I think a lot of people had that disconnect where, you know, they felt emotionally, particularly with the rise of feminism, with the rise of the Me Too movement and things like that, whereas they feel very strong emotional attachment to the case. But you still have to abide by the rules of the law. And when you straight violate somebody's constitutional rights, I don't care how you feel about that person, you can't rock with that at all. You know what I mean? Because it might be you one day getting your rights violated. You know what I mean?
Especially as a Black man, right? In which, you know, there's so many movies now and cases and TV shows, right? 50s TV show, right, is based upon a Black club owner getting his constitutional rights violated and doing significant amount of time in prison behind a wall because of it. And you know, there is no right or wrong. I can't tell somebody how they should feel. I would say, though, that we as a community, we should be looking, and this might come off as very insensitive, but to, you know, like, listen, sometimes you got to look at the bigger picture, right? And like you were saying, we should be looking at case law and protecting our constitutional rights, especially because the Black community does not have the same inherent we have to kind of fight for our constitutional right when we are in court. You know, apparently everything is always a lot more difficult, especially in this case. I can't imagine paying out a $3 million settlement and then still doing time for what I for my deposition. And I still paid that money. Well, shit, if I'm doing jail, like, there has to be receipts or something. Like,
yeah,
you know,
give me my refund. Money
back. Yeah, give my money back, you know, like, fuck out of here. So, you know, I always go back to how I just remember the posts, the tweets, the video Instagrams of women just very, like, lock Bill up, lock this up. And this might sound insensitive too, but I remember these same women were 16 willingly dating 30-year-olds and getting piped down by 24-year-olds. And, you know, this is something that's not just a Bill thing. This is a cultural thing that's wrong. But, you know, also too, like, look at how they tried to bury him. They brought out the kitchen sink for Bill. They brought out, I forget how many women, but only one stuck, right? So, you know, the narrative for, like, they were trying to make it seem like he was a serial rapist. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of he was a drug, like, really what they should have tried to get him with was being a drug dealer. But they had no, you know, a statute of limitations. There's no way they could have got that would have stuck. But, you know, he was supplying the drugs in a fun time. And, you know, when things just didn't work out, it probably didn't work out. Now, I'm not saying that was the case for everybody, but look, come on. Janis Joplin went on there and she's been a coked out, you know, schmuck bag of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah,
she's been
out
there. And we are. So of the 1,000 dicks you suck, you know, Bill Cosby is the one that you were selective with.
The most,
come on, man.
Yeah, like traumatizing out of
come on,
was in the Mala game early because you only imagine 15, 16. Like, I think she was in there about 15, 16. So
yeah, if not younger than that, because remember, you know, like you said, the Playboy Mansion, they had like 14 roles on covers at a point in time, you know. So you know, it is a confusing case, but it's also a very disheartening case, because once again we're seeing a Black elderly man still get his constitutional rights violated. Like that's a big ball drop, right? Like, no homo, no pun intended. But like, if that man paid out $3 million, there should have been receipts of that $3 million to say, hey, this is why I paid this out. This is why you can't charge me for this. It was just completely disregarded by the judge. In fact, I would like, I don't know who dropped the ball, whether it's the defense or whether the judge kind of made his own call. But if it was the judge making his own judgment decision, I would like the judge to be implicated. I think we need to start looking at how these judges decide some of these trials. And, you know, if that's the case, I have to do a little bit more research, but it's confusing. It's confusing. I'm glad Bill's out, though. I am happy that he, you know, I did not want to see Bill Cosby die in prison.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And I think it was the prosecutor. I think it was overzealous prosecutor. Yeah, keep in mind, a lot of these people have political ambitions. A lot of these people, if you look at, we had Obama was a former lawyer, you know, him and Michelle. A lot of these people, they go straight from law into politics. So if you the dude that locked up this serial rapist Bill Cosby, supposedly, then that's a notch on your belt when you go to run for a judge, when you go to run for Senate, a House, or even city council, whatever you gunning for, mayor. You want that bullet. Now you're known, right? You're that dude that took down this evil predator, right? So I think that was just more so. And there should be some repercussions behind that, because, like I said, you willingly, bruh, the first thing they teach you in law school is you're going to have to run down the Constitution. And you just violated it clearly, like cut and dry.
Yeah, it seemed like prosecutors, they get to bypass, like, it's almost now, like, well, it's not now, it's been this way. But our judicial system definitely needs to be revamped, because it's not a system about justice. It's about who can better prove they're right and who's wrong. Right. And, you know, it's all based on fallacy. It's not based on justice. It's not based off of getting the truth of what happened. It's based off of entertainment. I think, you know, you look at some of these cases, it is very entertaining. Look at the drama that they put. You got all this news media. And the prosecutor can be dead wrong and still win. No, in no other profession can you be completely wrong, completely off, know you're wrong, make up an elaborate story based upon unconclusive evidence and still win. It doesn't happen in too many other professions. You will be fired, you know? And not only win, but then, you know, go on to live and lead these elaborate professions and probably get money from it. I don't know how they get paid out other than, like, you know, legal fees and stuff. But then some of these lawyers live very lavish. You know, looking at the one, what's the lady behind the Central Park Five, that prosecutor, you know, she went on had a whole book tour. And I think they said she's worth like $30 million, you know, for locking up five kids, you know, Black kids, you know, they use the same narrative, same MO.
Yeah, well, look at the Kardashians. They own because they daddy lawyer, he was OJ lawyer, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
When you get them high profile cases, which they going for, that could be a springboard into something bigger, you know what I mean? But shout out to Bill too, though, because I know they tried to offer him you know, probation or something like that if he went to this violent sex offender class.
Yeah, he said no.
A parole, and he's like, nope, not doing it. Stuck to his guns, and like, you know what I mean, that's in itself, regardless of how you feel about the man, he does not believe he's a violent sex, and he stuck to his guns with that. A lot of people would have folded, you know what I mean, and then now it's gonna stick, right? Because now you're a parolee, now you gotta go through a whole different system to find out that your, you know, case was unconstitutional. You gotta be thrown out, because now you're a parolee, right? You admitted to it, you went to this class and everything. He could have been at the crib,
able to do nothing. He would have been on parole probably for like 10 years until he died, and he wouldn't have been able to travel nowhere, do nothing, speak to nobody. He probably still can't talk about the case. I'm sure they probably had him sign something that say he can't. I would be surprised if he's able to freely talk about the case itself. I think you'll see him talk about his time in prison.
I don't know, man. He 83 now, yo. Sometimes, yo, when you hit a certain age, look at Quincy Jones lately, yo. Yeah, Quincy Jones been spilling the tea, boy. You give him a drink and a camera, he telling everything right now, right?
Quincy Jones probably be on that smack too.
Old school. Jones
be high.
And that's the thing with Peel. Like, you might not, he done went to now. He already was a rich dude for decades and decades. So you already got that ego behind that. Now, you know, since this man to prison, he done fought for his life and he 80 some years old, knocking on death door. I pray for Bill, because you never know the stuff he knows now with that fearless trait. They might want to get him out the paint. You know what I mean? He's been partying in Hollywood for 40, 50 years. He probably got so much dirt on he got so many people. That, and then they weren't expecting him to get back out. You know what I mean? So I don't want to go the prodigy route. You know what I mean? Prodigy Pimp C route. When them people get out of jail and they get that fearless gene, they know so much.
Yeah.
Things sometimes happen. You know what I mean?
And the unfortunate part is that our community is so divided that we wouldn't even protect Bill Clinton as a whole. If it was to happen, it would be, you'll see so much. He shouldn't have did what he did. You know, it would be all of those type of narratives, and you know that those are narratives, not so much just about Bill, but those are narratives that help other people be like, see, look at them, they don't even stick together, them, you know, over there, you know? Like, you know, and it allows them to prosecute us a lot easier, you know, because look at how when all them people stormed the Capitol, you had so many people defending all of those people storming the government building, like, man, this government is getting out of control. The people felt like they had to do something, you know? So, you know, it's just one of those things where I just would like to see a revamp of our judicial system. And at least more transparency with these details while the trial is going on. Granted, you know, the prosecution not going to say this, but these details, I didn't know about that detail.
Which one?
Like watching the case, but... that he actually had a settlement that he paid out.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people didn't know it. Man, that's that mainstream news. And another thing I've seen a lot of people, like my last point on this joint, is that a lot of people was like, you know, that's why it's so hard for, you know, women to come forward when, you know, they think they've been assaulted or they think they've been done wrong sexually and things, sexually abused and things like that. But it's like, I'm not getting no kudos to that, because it's like, yeah, you may take some flack for going after this dude, but if you're talking about 50 women, right? Let's say allegations is true. You know, let's play devil's advocate. So let's say you the 10th woman assaulted, and you don't say nothing because you're scared to come forward because it's a big Hollywood dude, whatever, right? So you just sit saying, screw them other 40 women behind you, right? Right? If a certain amount of people, if you got woman after woman after woman after woman saying the same thing, once you get to about the 5th, 6th, 7th, they're going to have to say something. Right. The police gonna have to investigate something, because it's a bad look. Even if you go to reporters, like, you know what I mean? The worst thing you can do is make the police or the prosecution or the judicial system look bad. They're gonna be like, all right, we gotta do something. And that's why it was kind of telling, because it's like, this is the 70s and 80s that we're talking about. A lot of this stuff was beyond the statute of limitations. That's why they couldn't prosecute a lot of it. You know what I'm saying? So you're talking about a black man running around Hollywood doing all this to a majority white women in the 70s and 80s. And I'm not going to speculate, but by the 7th or 8th woman,
he'd been done.
You know what I mean?
Not even done. They would have put hands on him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'd have been bad. It'd have been very bad. So, you know what I mean? That's one thing. But I'm not going to sit here and coddle people. If something been wrong, been done to you, it is cowardly not to come forward and speak up, because the next person behind you may get done worse, may die behind it. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not really trying to hear that. It may suck. It may be terrible. But you got to man up. You got to put your big girl pants on, or your big boy. Even dudes get, you know what I mean, assaulted and abused and everything. You got to step up, say something, because the next person behind you. So I'm not going to go to this narrative that people's like, oh, it's so hard for women to come forward. Well, it's hard to read that news headline saying somebody not killed beyond the dude that assaulted you because you was too cowardly to go say something. You know what I mean?
And it's hard for everybody, you know, I'm not saying, you know, and unfortunate, you know, I've talked to women acquaintances and female friends recently. There was a show on Netflix called 13 Reasons Why that I watched with my wife. She put me on it. And it was about like high school rape. And with a daughter, it had me thinking about my culture, you know, how I grew up. And I remember girls giving lap dances, dudes grabbing, you know, female parts like it was nothing, you know. So when I started having these open conversations, you know, I was surprised to hear some stories well into some of these women's 20s, like late 20s. Even like I had one female friend that recently, she pretty much said that she had a male friend. And this is what tripped me out, was that she still considered to continue to call this person her friend. You know, and she said she had a male friend come by, they were drinking, and then he just whipped out. And she said, no, I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm not really feeling you like that. And he proceeded like to take her clothes off and like forcefully. And she's kind of a bigger girl. I'm not going to say that it can't happen, because, you know, we all know men's strength is just significantly, we're significantly stronger. But she said he didn't go through with it. But she in her mind, she was willing to allow it to happen because she just thought it was going to happen anyway. And what I asked her, my perspective was, is I don't trust men when I walk into a room that I don't know as a man, right. as a physically, I can be physically intimidating when I walk into a room just because of the nature of my size, you know, 6 foot, 230. I could be physically intimidating, right? And I don't trust men that I don't know. I think that's just a natural thing for men, right? There's books on it too. But why do women put themselves, and I'm not blaming women, but I think I would like to see women, especially in this hookup culture, right? This social media over-sexualized culture, don't go on a date to this guy's house. It's not.
And also stay on your square too, man. Like, don't get super inebriated. Yeah. If you know you're kicking it with these dudes, don't even you know, recently when we was reading well, the brother Kwame was talking about, you know, see the guys case and all this other stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's like dudes are intentionally getting, you know, women drunk to do whatever. It's like you need to be taught to just be on your square. You know what I mean? Be on your square at all times, because somebody might even put something in your drink. Somebody might do something. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's something that, you know, as parents, you need to instill into your kids at an early age, is that, look here, man, wherever you go, you never know what's going to happen at the end of the day. Last thing you need to do is not be on your square. You know what I mean? Yeah. Particularly if you're kicking it with a dude, a male who could physically, you know, might physically overpower you. You know what I mean?
Especially like, right, we talking about Bill Hollywood, right? And Hollywood isn't as big as people, you know, as it might seem, you know. So it's like, all right, if Bill was really not, I can't say he was or wasn't, but, you know, I, like you said, after the 7th or 8th date rate, you know, somebody's going to say, not yeah, all
get,
women.
And get that paper trail cracking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, you know, the rumor going to be out. Oh, Bill be taking advantage of women. You know, people talk, you know, even most perpetrators tell on themselves. I won't say most perpetrators, but a lot of dudes tell on themselves. So it's like, you know, you would think it would be some kind of at least story trail of how he treat women, and women continue, even one of the women continued to talk to him after she accused him of it.
Okay, came back again. I just seen I seen another case like that too. I think it was a baseball player. So, you know, we're a real quick story, but I think I read the story. The guy was messing with the chick. She come through and I guess she was messaging about kinky sex, blah, 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 likes it rough. So, you know, they do. And then she was like, you know, some stuff went down. I didn't want to go down. She came back like 3 months later, you know what I mean? and did the do again and talking about, oh, we're going to have a safe word this time and all, which this brother was stupid as hell anyway. Like,
dumb as hell for that. Yeah,
you're a multi-million dollar baseball player. She messaged you talking about some kinky sex and all that. You better get a waiver or something, my dude. You know what I mean? But yeah, that blows my mind when I hear like, oh, I got assaulted the first time, but I'm going to come back. Maybe you different this time. I'm going to come back again. And you know what I mean? And then it does lead credence to your story. You know what I mean? It's just not a good look, period.
It makes it hard for, because because I was raised by women. So, yeah. I mean, if there's ever a need for me to beat somebody up, is to hear that a man.
Word. I got little sisters.
It's taking advantage of women. I mean, that's an on-site. That's not even a let me go find out if he did it. Like, if it's even a rumor and you in my space and you say something that triggers me, I'm beating you up. Mm-hmm. Straight off rip. And if somebody asks me, I'm gonna say, yo, I heard this. You know, and that's just what it is. You know, that's just my temperament. It's always been my temperament. But if now the narrative is, well, you know, she get like this when she drunk, it make it hard because now I could get an assault charge for something that's not even true. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, women have to allow, and we talked about this plenty of times, but women have to defend themselves, and you have to allow men to play our role as protectors, right? I know women are independent, make better decisions, and trust the males that you trust. And that's hard, too, to say. I recant that statement because I think the stats are that most women that get raped or sexually assaulted are people that they know that do it. So just make, you know, I would like women to make better decisions. And don't think that because these people are rich and famous, they're not creeps, too. A lot of Hollywood, from like people that I know that work out in Hollywood, and you know, I know older musicians, and that, you know, they tell some crazy stories. A lot of these dudes are creeps. A lot of people you see on Instagram that look like they live in the best life, and a lot of these billionaires are creeps, you know. So I don't know, man. It's just an unfortunate situation that one of our icons went down the way he did.
Yeah, but at least I'm very curious to see what's gonna happen from this point. Whether, you know, like I said, if the leash is off, you know what I mean? If there's no limit to what he can say, because, you know what I mean, Bill might let spill that tea out there. So, you know, shout out to Bill, man. Regardless of how you feel about him or the situation or anything like that, the man stood on the square, and he also, like I said, the constitutional thing is a big thing. So let's go ahead and move on to the next one. We got thoughts on Sha'Carri Richardson's disqualification for the weed. She can't stop smoking the weed. Let's see.
Narrative, man.
So is there some hypocrisy out there? Because I can take it from both sides, right? I can see both sides of this argument, right? On one hand, it's very arbitrary. It's a dumb rule. Weed is not making anybody run any faster. Anything can probably slow you down. and also you can kind of see from the story perspective, I believe her mother passed and, you know, she wanted to get blunted up, whatever. Right. So I can see it from that perspective, but I also can see it from the side where it's like, okay, you know, the rules to the game that you playing, right. You know, that you're going to get drug tested and all that other stuff. So, you know, you need to, and it's the Olympics, yo. It's something that only happens every 4 years. If you're a great sprinter, you may can get 3 Olympics if the timeline falls right, right? And you just got it like that. But to throw away 1 Olympics is a big thing. You know what I mean? So what's your thoughts on it?
I would like to say that last point you said, like you might can get 3, not in track and field. It's so hard for track and field athletes that to be able to make 12 year, you know, be an Olympian for 12 years, especially with women. Look at Allison Felix. You know, she struggled in the Olympic trials. You know, she went from the top of the food chain to, you know, after giving birth, and I think she believed she had to have a C-section. She just wasn't nearly as fast. When we're talking about Sha'Carri Richardson, she's the fastest female on the planet in the 100. I mean, we're talking about suspending LeBron James for a whole NBA season for smoking, right? Or like, oh, LeBron James not like that. That narrative wouldn't happen for an Olympic NBA player. You know, I feel like, you know, so, you know, but to the first point you made about the hypocrisy, it's so crazy because I see a lot more women like, she's stupid. She shouldn't have done this. She should have known better, blah, blah, blah. And I just based off of today's climate, I thought a lot more Black women would have a lot more empathy for her, especially with the narrative of her mother passing. That just wasn't the case. And it's crazy because, like, you know, so many women, it's like, your baby father is a whole murderer. Probably is the reason why a couple people overdosed, you know. And you free my boo, you know, I love you till you come home. But now you don't have any empathy for the best athlete in this sport. You know, she's arguably the fastest woman in the world, not black woman in the world. She's the fastest woman in the world. And we want to hammer her in our own community, which is just very disheartening. It's very, it parallels how we, you know, how they did Bill. It's very, like, it's just very hypocritical. But I also see the other side, you know, especially in how I came my last, like, 10 years in the military. You know, you know the rules. You choose to not abide by them if you want. You know the consequences, right? So she is young, too. What is she, 18 years old? Like, she's a child in hindsight, yeah, you know. So it's like, come on, man. Like, we're trying to punish somebody for doing something that's so normalized, right? Like, and I hate, oh, well, it's the rule. Well, you know, there's stuff in the Constitution that's dated, you know. Like, there's there are laws and rules and things everywhere that don't make any sense, that are just deprecated and should be removed. And like you said, I could see where weed might help. If they took the stance that smoking marijuana helps athletes heal more, you know, then maybe, okay, yeah, you might have an advantage of being able to legally smoke. But I just think, when you're talking about the fastest woman in the world, you know, have some empathy. She's also a black woman. Like I would much rather she, you know, if my daughter was to say, hey, I want to be Sakari Richardson, I would much rather that than, hey, I want my daughter to be an Instagram model. You know, like we should be putting her to the forefront of our community. And that's the Olympics. They don't get paid for the Olympics. You know, they get endorsements.
They get endorsements. Track field. I said that if you really care about track field, you make a track field league. It should be like a league. You know, people to this day would pay money to see, you know, Usain Bolt, you know, even at his advanced age, race. You know, it's like the match they put on with Mike Tyson them and you know, just have Floyd Mayweather. These dudes make $10 million. People enjoy seeing legends compete. If you could sign a couple of these dudes, do a professional, you know, track field league, and, you know, sign on some younger stars who maybe don't want to play by these rules, don't want to play by these Olympic rules, you can get a whole people. It's the middle of summer, and that's the time you do track field. What else is there to watch? Baseball? Like, that would be hot. That would be something that people would probably pay money to see. Particularly if you can get some legends out there to maybe do like some side things where they race each other. Who the strongest man at 44? You know, you got Usain Bolt out there versus, you know what I mean? What was that dude he used to race all the time? The black dude,
Michael,
with the gold shoes. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Michael Johnson.
Yeah, people still pay money for that joint. But like you said, the one thing I would say, I've seen people, you know, curse out family and friends for supposedly, you know, failing a drug test and losing a good job. Like, and these are people, you know, oh, you so stupid. You had a job at the post office. You had a job at UPS. You had a job at the hospital, and you want to smoke and get fired. And, but it's like, you got no, but when it comes to Shakira, who you don't know from a can of paint, you know what I mean? Like, I know if we just looking at their accomplishments on paper and their athletic ability, yes, they good. You know what I mean? Like, you're one of the greatest, right? But it's like Jordan. If you look at Jordan's life on a basketball court, you're like, okay, this dude's killing it. He was the greatest ever. He's the GOAT. But if you look at his personal life, he's like, dude, like, you an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
To go to rehab for gambling.
Yeah.
Tom Walker spending through $100 million and other people going broke. You a bad influence, Jordan. You ain't helping nobody.
Yeah, so you got to differentiate the person from the accomplishments. And in which case, with this young lady, you know, hopefully I'm very confident she'll bounce back. She's young, and I think something came out today where she only suspended for a month, so she'll still be able to compete in parts of the Olympics. So it's not lost. But at the same time, you know, sometimes it's better to just let situations play out rather than, you know, choose a team or choose a squad or something like that, because who knows what this young lady, you know, is going through in her life and all this other stuff. And I don't think we need 50 million pundits out here trying to, you know, dissect her life about what she did. And, oh, this is a stupid rule. And but she knew the rule. You know what I mean? Michael Phelps went through the same thing. Matter of fact, Michael Phelps didn't even get caught smoking. They had a he didn't even test positive. They had a picture of him supposedly smoking out the bong. And he got 3 months suspended. So it's not like the rules ain't unfair across the board. It's not like it's rules for D and not for me type of deal, because everybody getting hit. So you can't even make the route that like, oh, it's some racist stuff going on. It's all this. They hitting everybody. The rules is level for everybody. You know what I mean? As stupid as the rule is to me, you agreed to play by that rule when you sign up to do the Olympic joint. You know what I mean? So that's on you. But I'm not going to knock this. I'm not going to bash the sister, but I'm not going to put on a pedestal either. You did some dumb stuff. Buck up. What she did, she released a statement. She said, I effed up. You know what I mean? And I'll be back. You know what I mean? And leave it at that.
Professional, the level of accountability that she displayed, and it was an immediate thing. It didn't seem like it was media written to me. I applaud the young woman for just stepping up and saying, I did it. You know, it is what it is, and, you know, and just moving on from it. You know, at that age, that wouldn't have been me, you know? I'd have been like, man, you're going to have to test catch me. You know what I mean? I would have been on all kind of lies.
I ate some poppy seeds. I had a Big Mac. Somebody slipped me an edible.
Something probably way deeper than that. Like, they would have, you know, so I say that to say that her level of accountability and maturity kind of displays her character more than the actions of having a lapse in judgment as a professional runner. Maybe because she's been running for so long and doing it so long, you know, when you love doing something, you might not understand your impact on in the field in which you're at the top of, right? Maybe she wasn't looking at it like, I'm a professional runner. You know, maybe she's looking at it like, I'm a track runner and I'm Sha'Carri Richardson. Mm-hmm. You know, like some, you know, she's 18. Maybe that transition, like I'm sure Zion Williamson in high school didn't think that. He knew who he was, but maybe not how he was being perceived by the world yet. You know, like that could be a very scary thing for a young adult. But then like it was crazy, like you had mentioned, people are bringing up all these other athletes I've never even heard of making memes with their whole backstory or how they got caught with drugs. Like, I don't care. it's like athletes. I'm like, who is that? Like, I don't even know who that is. Like, you know, like,
but you know, they not to cut you off, but you know, they now, I'm starting to see more backlash now because, I know you mentioned, you know, some more women, you know, talking, you know, greasy about it a little bit more that maybe you've noticed. They went to the Wayback Machine. And that's the thing about this, this new, you said she 18. The thing about that generation is they grew up on social media, right? So now they going into the Wayback Machine and find old tweets and what she's basically is like, you know, if you a fan of Lil Nas X, you know, you can erase me or block me right now. And
it so sound now, like if you're a man that wear a pink shirt, you're a homosexual or something like that. So,
so you know that community is they the loudest on social media. So they at her neck about that. So you see, starting to see that support or that you see, start seeing that backlash, and they just pulling out tweets from like 2016 when she said, I mean, the girl was like 14 years old.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You know, like, come on, you know.
But that's what they do, though. You know what I mean? That's what they do. So that's why I tell a lot of people, be careful, be mindful what you put on here, because, you know what I mean? Scrub it after a while. You know, you become and even then, they can dig it out the archives. But
the internet, it's recoverable. That's just is what it is, you know? I think the biggest thing that the direction that I just ultimately hope to see, maybe I won't throw Bill Cosby in the same category as Sha'Carri Richardson, but I would like to see at least our Black women support our Black women more in positive fields, right? It's too much twerking, too many hot girl summers, too much over. It's almost corny to be so over sexualized to me. Like, I think men, at least the men I talk to, it's kind of like, yeah, it's entertaining for the 30 seconds that it came across YouTube or IG, but I think it's kind of corny now. I think, like, you know, women with substance, women that have talent, that have professions, that are at the top of their game, that is what is you know, attractive, and that's what I think I enjoy about the black woman. Like, I like seeing Sha'Carri Richardson and, you know, this young being the best in the world. She's not the best in the US, best in the NCAA. She's the best in the world. That's, I couldn't even imagine being at that level of anything. It's very inspiring to me. So, you know, I just wish that we put our, you know, that the black woman, because they kind of control a lot of the media narrative as far as the, you know, how they handle these stories, you know, whether it's backlash, you know, they killed Bill Cosby. Some women are killing Sha'Carri Richardson right now. Let's, you know, I would much rather have a Sha'Carri Richardson than a Megan Thee Stallion, as far as
Sha'Carri than a Cardi. If you want to go there, like,
yeah,
Cardi like drugging and taking dudes, you know what I mean? Bread.
Ain't no boycott to Cardi.
Yeah, saying she was letting transsexuals get down on, you know, come on now. But she's you know, hosting award shows and talking to, you know, future presidents and stuff like that. Come on, man. The hypocrisy. Yeah. Once again, it goes back to my original point about the hypocrisy, yo. You know what I mean? But let's go and take the next one, because we got another one that's kind of related with the Olympic qualifier. We had Gwen Berry, I believe her name was. She does the, what's that one with you, the hammer throw? And they had the anthem, and I guess she came in third for the qualifiers. She proceeded to protest, didn't put her hand on her heart, didn't face the flag, none of that, right? So I want to say, is that another case of clout chasing? Because recently some people have pulled up some stuff off her page where she's draped in the flag proudly with her USA uniform on, the flag hanging back. Us now, I mean, she could have had a change of heart within the time. I don't know when that pic was took, but she looked pretty happy to have that flag in her hand while she was smiling and cheesing for the cameras with that USA uniform on, right? So is this a clout chasing incident, or, you know, maybe she got paid off? What do you think about Gwen Berry? Was her protest, you think she was legit in it, or do you think, you know, she going for those BLM dollars?
I don't know much about her to know how consistent she is with her stance. I will say that whatever she felt at that time is probably what she felt, you know, right? You know, so I think she's probably being authentic. It might just been the wrong time to do it, especially with today's platform. Go get your medal and slide off and then talk about it later, you know. But I'm not going to knock her. I think she well in her right to protest in the way that she, I can't big up Colin Kaepernick and knock her, you know what I'm saying? For pretty much doing it on the big platform. And I don't know much about her. I don't really follow her on social media to see how consistent she is, with her message, but, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Personally, yeah. What about you? How do you feel about
it? I don't think nothing wrong. If you're genuinely protesting something, then I don't really see nothing wrong with that. But I think it has to be some things in order for you to be even be called a protest. For one, what exactly is your goal or aim to protest? If you don't have a list of goals, if you don't have a list of demands, if you don't have a, you know, I mean, a direct path onto your protest and what you want to see change due to you protesting, then to me, it's just a temper tantrum. It's like when you take your kid to Target and you don't want to buy them a toy, and they lay in the middle of the aisle and kick their feet and stomp their hands. You know what I mean? Like, you're just throwing a temper tantrum. Secondly, can you even call it a protest nowadays when the president of the United States is like, oh, yeah, I support that. You know, like when what you're doing is not going to equal a consequence to you, is it even a protest? The brothers that in 1968 Olympics threw up the fist with the gloves on it, right?
Yeah.
They careers were done. Over with. They didn't do anything after that. They got kicked out of the Olympics that year. They had to leave. I believe like they forfeited their medals, all that. So they suffer consequences behind what they would call a protest, right? She's probably going to get a sponsorship deal, right? Nothing's going to happen to her. She's still going to go to the Olympics, everything. What have you really sacrificed? You know, I believe a protest is means that you're sacrificing something, whether it be like your reputation, possibly your freedom, maybe even your job these days. And you see how it's going on social media. You can get fired off a tweet, anything, right? What does she lose by so-called protesting?
Maybe prospective.
Hell, Kaepernick got a Nike deal. Like,
he was also a bigger athlete too, right? Like, you know, he was already a millionaire. You know, he generated more money for his institution than Gwen Berry is generating for hammer throwing.
That's the point too. It's a come up for her. It's a come up for her because it's like, who was checking? First of all, who checking for the hammer throw?
I'm not watching the hammer throw. Like, who's checking? Gwen Berry. You know, like that's not something I'm like, because you see what the first place winner looked like. That's a big
dude. The first and the second.
like you wasn't beating them girls. I don't care how strong you are.
That's corn fed.
At least 100 pounds. You ain't beating them girls. So like, we know you wasn't bringing no gold home, but. I agree. Like it is a come up for her. But I hate to use that word come up in the sense that she's doing it for profit. I want to make that clear. Maybe I say come. And now it might that she's doing it for, you know, because more attention might bring more opportunity. But, you know, she will get more coverage, I will say.
I mean, even then, if you look at the BLM brass, right? Patrice Cullors got like 3 mansions, bro. like it is lucrative to be an activist, yo. Look at Sean King and a lot of these cats, bro. It is lucrative. We're not even gonna go there because we've seen it in the flesh. Like, these people are making millions, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I don't know her from a can of paint, so I'm not gonna go too deep into it. But to me, particularly with the evidence of you be proudly displaying the flag previously, it just seems to me to be a play for a grift, man. You trying to secure the bag, me?
Yeah, like, when did it change? Like, when was the like? Because, you know, we the same egregious things that's happened this year, last year, the year before that. I mean, every year it's the same thing. We just repeat the same atrocities every year. So it's kind of like, you know, was it a recent wokeness? Or I could kind of see that point. You know, be consistent.
Be consistent. Be consistent. Yo, that's all I ask. Yo, if you're going to do something, and you could have a change of heart. I realize my opinions of a lot of things have changed just this past year, man. But, you know, I stand by my convictions and I'm consistent in what I say. You know what I mean? If you're going to do anything, if you're going to stand on your 1-2, be consistent. That's why I saluted Bill. Like, you know, say what you want to say about the man. He was consistent. He said, I ain't do what y'all saying I did. And for that, I'm not going to this class, even though I can go to the crib. If I go to this class, none of that. So I ain't going to never knock nobody who's consistent with what they do. You know what I mean?
But like you said, though, people do change. Like, I change my mind on things as I become more educated on them. We've seen a lot of famous people. Look at Snowden, right? Snowden created the same program that spies on people and then went to go tell on the people that he created the program for because he didn't like how they were using it. You know, so like, you know, you can have a change of heart on any time, any day, any given minute.
I think Snowden a plant, bro.
Probably. I think
read his book. Interviews and fucking got a he got an active. Yo, how you number one on the list of you know, criminals overseas, and you got an active Twitter with a check mark, yo?
But like, if you read the book, like when I read his novel, a lot of his personality came out. So he was one of the guys that, you know, a lot of these smart guys want to show you how smart they are. They, you know, and so he took on his job as a as like a challenge. He claims he didn't understand what he was. He didn't say this, but the notion of what he says is he didn't really understand how, like, the implications of what he built. He just was doing it because it was like, oh yeah, protect freedom and all of this stuff. And then once he kind of thought about it, that's when he wanted to make a change, and that's why he did it. But, you know, I see that at work a lot. Like, you know, in the Department of Defense, a lot of people don't even know why they're doing what they're doing. They just told to do it and they do it. So,
But what, you know, what Snowden did, was it really that ground? Did he say anything that anybody with half a brain didn't really know that you're being spied on 24/7?
That's because the technology, he pretty much confirmed it, and it was like we all knew it, but he's like, oh yeah, I'm the one that built it. So yeah, you're absolutely, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was that stamp of approval on it. And he just had a change of based off of the book that I read that he wrote. He had a change of heart when he was seeing it used in capacities that he didn't agree with. But it's like, all right, well, you should have maybe thought about that when you built, you know, like if you know you can't control the program, you can't control the people to control the program, maybe you should have thought about that.
Oh yeah, the algorithm is in control, baby. Yeah, shout out to the algorithm.
Exactly. It's definitely moving and it's definitely working. So, but you know, I say that to say people can have a change of heart. And you know, maybe she was triggered by something. You know, I've had people come up to me in my time in the military, and they used to always be like, oh, this dude, Mike, this dude low, he be bugging out. And then, you know, I've recently had maybe like in the last 3 years, people come out and say, yeah, you know, I didn't even understand a lot of the racial stuff that you were going through because I didn't see it. I even had, you know, the good old buddy Mick, I won't say his last name, like, tears, you know, when I stopped by his crib a year or two ago, and he just couldn't fathom what I was saying or what I said. You know, I was already over it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, certain things could hit you at certain points in life, or certain things could trigger you differently at certain times. So, you know, I won't knock Gwen Berry too bad, but you know, it would be kind of suspicious. It's like, I love my American flag, but I'm gonna represent America, and I'm gonna,
yeah, exactly. Why would you, bro? If I feel this strongly about something, I'm not going to what, yeah, place third in the hammer throw. You can sit at the crib. Yeah,
you know you wasn't beating them big girls. You know you wasn't beating them. Them one of them big girls would have to pass out mid throw. You know, like, you know you wasn't. You just wanted to go up on that podium. Exactly. I'm changing my mind right now. Yeah, that was definitely all clout. Now, knocking, you want to do some amazing work.
Hey, if you want to griff, yo, I would never knock the griff, but I will call you out when I weep the griff. All right. Yeah. But let's move on to the next joint, man. The old Joe Chronicles. My man's Joe. He recently did what was it called? He recently did like a news media type of deal where he confused basically the Tuskegee Airmen with the Tuskegee Experiment, which is outrageous. And we also dealing
black
with
they love him though. I bet you black people are like, it's okay.
It's all right. He's old. He can. We also dealing with things of the crazy inflation we got going on. We got a couple Second Amendment bills on the line where basically he said, and this is crazy. People didn't weep this on the initial conference, the media availability, where he basically said that certain people weren't allowed to own, you know, weapons when the Second Amendment was. And who do you think those certain people?
Yeah, as black people. It's what, we talked about this on a previous episode about his gun control. Who says
that out loud, yo? Like, we and these people don't even get it, yo. It's so frustrating,
they you know, they don't. But it's funny because when you try to educate them, they don't want to listen. So, you know, I've talked to people about, you know, like, especially during the election, Trump versus Biden, And I was saying, you know, you got to be a lot of elite, because I'm back up north. I'm in the Northeast. I said, you got to understand, if they create a no gun ban list, right? Let's go to worst case scenario. They say we cannot buy firearms, period. They're not saying you can't own firearms. They're just saying you can't buy no more. Who owns all the firearms in America right now? Like, if you ain't been down south where they pull, you go to a cookout, you bring a six pack, a mill, and then you bring your new rifle. You know, that's how they have cookouts down south. You know, you bring your new firearm that you just got from the local gun dealership for the low, you know, or some old Russian sniper rifle with somebody name etched in it. Oh, let me show you this, buddy. You know, like, that's how they get down. You know, they're not saying you can't own them. They just saying, because they would never be able to take away all the guns. It's more
gun than people in the U.S.
Exactly, right? And they're not, some of these people, you're going to have to go in with like a whole goddamn militia. I mean, a whole army. You know how some of these people got guns, you know, like some of these people legitimately have like John Wick type stashes, you know. And I think Black people, because we're always discouraged to have firearms, right, through how we police and not knowing, really not knowing our constitutional and legal state, you know, our state rights for gun ownership. I think we've been scared out of having firearms in our community for the most part. But they passed that. It's over, bro. Yeah. They passed that. It's over. Black people, my
food. And then they keep throwing this assault rifle term out there. There is no such thing as an assault rifle, yo. A semi-automatic rifle is a semi-automatic rifle, yo. It's ridiculous. That's why I had the conversation with Ron Marie. Shout out to Ronda on one of the previous podcasts. We laid all this out. It's like even the whole concept of gun control is specifically targeted for you know, Black people, Native Americans, people like that. They didn't want to have weapons, man. They even had, like she said, the Black codes. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all can't even talk in a circle. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that still go on. You know, they get nervous.
You at work right now and five brothers having a conversation and the supervisor walk up, man. It's gonna be all right, man. All right.
I was in the military. You know, if it's three or more. You gotta go call the white guy or the white girl, like, hey, come over here for a quick second. They'd be like, hey guys, and be like, no, we just need you to stand here. Just don't listen, you know what I'm saying? And it worked. We actually did an experiment like that, or a couple of us, we were talking, and sure enough, a couple of people stopped us. Hey, what are you guys doing? You know, we stayed in the same spot with two other white guys, and nobody said anything. Nobody questioned what we were doing. So, you know, it is what it is. And then, you know, I think the people just being ignorant, and I hate to say this, it's a lot of the older people to me. It's not a lot of the young people. It's a lot of older people. I'm going to just throw that out there. If you 50 or higher, I don't even listen to you. I don't care about what you think. They dropping the ball so bad right now with this old slave logic, this old church hymn, God's going to see us through. All this bull, like, no, this is, we're humans, you know. we're nobody's coming down on a magical carpet to take us away to a place where you can do whatever you want and sin the way that you want to sin, you know, and without fighting for it. Like, that's not happening. And a lot of these older people just are so resistant to change, not knowing that that's how you survive. That's any being on this planet that refuses to change ceases to exist. And I think we need to change the narrative of how we view and obtain guns. The whole notion of people being able to own guns in this country is to protect ourselves from the government. You know,
and then those are the people, yo, when that just like throws people to a malfunction. When it's like, you expecting the people who this law was made to protect you against to change that law? Do you realize how that's like letting the cartel make drug laws, yo? You know,
exactly. It's like, you can snort a whole mountain of coke, but if you snort two mountains of coke, you're going to jail.
Matter of fact, you go to jail if you ain't got an eight ball on you. If you're outside right now without a minimum.
He got no powder on his nose. He's not a real person. Get his ass. You know, so that no, because I've had conversations with older people. Oh, there's too many guns out here. Man, come on, cut it out. How many people do you know personally that have been shot in the last year? You know, like, it's certain areas like Chicago. You know, I know that's hometown for you, but that's just one of them places it's always going to be there. That type of violence is always going to be there, you know? But it's an outlier. It's not a daily thing in every place in America, you know? And exactly. So it's like a lot of older people just like, oh, we need to get all the guns up. No, shut up.
Yeah, no, and the same people will talk to you about systematic racism all day, and then they want your only way of self-defense being calling the same police who y'all complain about all day, every day, right?
Yeah, they you know, a lot of it be they be thinking, you know, the self-defense, and this might come off as insensitive, but I don't care. But you know, a lot of them want to huddle up in a circle and sing church songs. I'm serious though. Like, you know, like they, this whole notion of faith is like trumping survivability to almost a degree of stupidity. And it's like I'm not going down with that sinking shit. I'm going down fighting. I'm going down swinging.
Exactly.
I can sit there and line up and be easy targets if you want to. Don't ask me for shit. Don't come by my house like, oh, I know Mike is over there. Yeah, he could protect my family, my extended family, my wife's, you know, like, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, you get on this boat now or you drown trying. You know?
And check this out, bro. I know people right now. I want to say the only reason y'all even allowed outside, it's the fourth weekend, barbecues, cracking, all that right now, right? I know people right now in Ontario, Canada, they just start letting them buy non-essential items, yo. They just been able to buy socks and stuff, yo. They just opened the parks in July, yo. They not set for full reopening to October, yo. And then that's flu season. They going to shut them right back down. And that's what you would have right now, yo. If the powers that be, the only thing that keeps, like, things in check, that keeps a balance, is the fact that America is chock full of guns, yo.
Yeah, stockpiles of, well, you know, it's crazy because that more militia group that just got, like, did you see that article? They actually went on YouTube Live. It's a more militia group. They're going to, like, I guess they have a private camp in which they train. They pulled over on the side of the road to refuel. They had, you know, they did it the right way. To refuel without going to a gas station so they don't, like, alert and alarm people. And cops pulled them over, and, you know, they were pretty much all these black people with guns is a threat. You know, and I think they were in the wrong place. They was driving through Massachusetts. Like, they weren't stopped at anywhere. They was on the side of the road, big-ass vans with gear and equipment in the back. They're fully armed. I think it was 11 of them. They were Moors. I forget what they said their organization was. But it shows you, you know, the only thing that probably kept them from dying is that them police officers didn't want to get shot. because, you know, you see who they shoot first. It's the people that they know don't have weapons. The people that they know don't have weapons get shot immediately. The people that they... you know, when you see these videos of these white males walking up to cops with rifles, it's because they don't want that shootout. They don't want that shootout, you know. So
your shit's bigger than mine.
Exactly. It was cold that night. You know, so you know, because you know that a lot of these cops, they're only armed with their service pistol. You know, ain't no cop with a service pistol want to deal with anybody with an AR. It's just not a fair fight, you know, unless you goddamn John Wick or curving bullets like it, or you Neo from the Matrix, you're going to lose that battle. And it's, you know, you're not going to make it home. So, you know, but people, I think a lot of people don't understand that because we've been so domesticated as people, right? They domesticated our men. A lot of the alpha males are in prison. You know, a lot of our physically dominated, nating men are either in professional sports or they're in jail. And then another portion of them are probably gay now. You know, a lot is a large portion of gay men, right? So we're very domesticated. And then the other, on the flip side of that, we have very masculine women in the way that they think. They think that they're stronger and tougher and that they're survivor, that they would be able to survive something like a gun war. You know, like this right now, we're living in an economic war, but they think that they would be able to sustain people kick the purge, a real life purge. That's really what would happen, is a real life purge would definitely happen. And they're like, oh, I love that movie. It's entertaining. Like, no, that shit is not too far from where we're going.
And you know, what's crazy is that I've seen people, I've seen, you know, being in the one of the worst areas in Afghanistan, you know what I mean? And I've seen so-called hardened army dudes, you know what I mean? So-called hardened soldiers rock like babies and chain smoke cigarettes, you know, because gunfire pop. They so done at this point, they so mentally broken that they can't even handle it. You know what I mean? And these people are supposed to be trained for this type of deal, right? And so I can only imagine, you know, seeing people who actually have to see bodies drop, or people you know out here in these streets. You know what I mean? If
most people aren't violent.
No, they're not. They're not made for that.
Most of us don't even compete in anything over the age of 27, right? Like how many times, like a lot of men probably don't compete with other men other than work. Like, but there is no physical, like any sport is kind of violent, right? Football is a violent sport. Basketball, you know, it depends. If you're playing on the street, you can get violent. You got to be a little tougher. But, you know, generally when you're competing, there's a level of violence that traps you mentally where you have to be like, I'm ready to harm this person if I need to, right? A lot of people don't have that. And that's a very mild case when we're talking about war and warfare, right? But a lot of people not even in that mindset to be like, I'm ready to hurt somebody today. Like, you know, that's when you see, you know, that's why I think sometimes women say, I like street dudes. Really what they're saying is, I like masculine men. I like to feel like, you know, in a lot of these videos, they say, I like street dudes. I like men that they wanted, what they're trying to articulate, I like a man I could feel like, I'm fully protected, you know, and it's not too far off to say that. I think the reasoning is wrong based off of what they say they want and then what they go for. But really, I don't really disagree too much when you look at from a physiology standpoint, that a lot of men today, we're soft as a whole society, black, white, Spanish, whatever. A lot of us don't compete with each other. That's why I like being in the gym. I like playing basketball. I like doing something when I'm competing. But you know, a lot of men, you know, I know some dudes that probably ain't threw a punch, even on a punching bag, in 15 years.
If ever.
Never. You know what I'm saying? And you ain't, imagine if a gun pop, like, you know, you it's fight or flight where you have to now, where it's looking bleak for you to survive, but you have to fight.
Well, you know, this is by design, man. It's a fact that testosterone levels have been dropping for decades, yo. If you look at the male from like 1980, if you look at a high school senior from like 1980 and you look at a high school senior from 2021, yo, they look like little bull dykes, like the dudes, man. They look like, you know, they look like effeminate dudes. They real young looking. They got this softer face. They got the softer features. Man, them dudes in 1980 already had like the George Jefferson horseshoe.
They was
with the mutton chops. And you'd be like, whoa. And if you look at the high school seniors now, they look like, you know, Justin Bieber on the album cover. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a shift, man. It's a fact that the testosterone levels is going down, yo. You don't have this mess.
Lack of sun and a lot of different attributes. And also just society telling us it's not cool to have a certain level of violence, too. Right? Like, now I'm not talking about violence, like just unnecessary violence. But, you know, when, like, for example, when Pat Beverly pushed Chris Paul in the back. And they was killing him. They was killing him on, whatchamacallit. Shaq was the only one that kept it a buck. Shaq said, yo, if somebody was digging him, was killing me on the court, and I was talking shit all game, I'm ready to fight. He said it. He said, yo, if I'm talking, he said, I talk a lot of trash. And if somebody came back and dropped, you know, 22 on my head and they won a game, I'm ready to fight. I'm waiting by the bus. You know, there's a certain, there's a certain level of, you know, human, we're just naturally violent. Show me a race of people that wasn't violent.
That's how you made it. Like, if you weren't violent, your tribe is gone now. If your people weren't ready to kick some ass, your people no longer exist. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, it's like we try to go away from just human nature too much, I think. You know, things that just will never change. That will never change, you know? And it's just crazy because I don't know, man. I just figure that at some point we would just be like, as Black people, shit, aren't we getting tired? You know, if you're tired of seeing people get shot in the back, well, the people that don't get shot in the back or killed unarmed are the people with the guns. Mm-hmm. You know, like you take a Black cop in a rural area where everybody has guns and you put a camera on him and he shoots a person handcuffed in the back on the street, he's going to have to fight for his life or move.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like we see the blueprint on how to defend our communities and we just choose not to do it. And then on top of that, we allow somebody to put in policies that take away the only defense that we would have, you know, and we allow it. It's not like they're sneaking it in. These Black and it's the older Black people. I guarantee you, you sat down with people 35 and under, And you had this conversation with them. They be like, "Oh hell no!" Nah. You sit down with somebody 50 and over, they're gonna be like, "We don't need these guns. We need to get these guns off the street because all of this TV shit that they be watching. You know, anytime you turn the news on, they got this dramatic ass music for a news thing, and it's two people shot in Philly in the worst, and it's always the worst area in Philly. Like, yo, what is it? Why you wouldn't go there in the first place? It's like watching Scream, right? I would never be scared of movies that I would never be at. Like Hills of Eyes. Hills of Eyes is a creepy movie. I would never be in the middle of a desert. You know, if my car broke down, I'm walking. You know, we gonna walk. You know, so it's like you know, the media, like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, be tearing these old people heads up where they just scared to leave the house.
Yeah, man, the media will. I say, if you want to increase or decrease your anxiety level, turn the news off. It's to the point I don't even watch it, yo. If I do, it's to see what narrative they're pushing now, because they love to foreshadow things before they do it. And honestly, man, I'm just sick of the Black community, particularly trying to outsource things. Like, if you want to change your neighborhood, it takes strong men to step up, because these people out here committing these crimes, these not flown in secret agents from, the Israel coming in and doing crimes and leaving on a plane the next day and doing it. These Ray Ray and Pookie, your cousin them on the corner. These the one you talking about, free Little Will, so Little Will can get out and kill two or three more cats and you post his bond and put money on his books and all. These your family members doing this stuff, yo. So I think at a certain point, it's just up to the males in the community, particularly, to step up, yo. Like you say, you can legally purchase firearms, man. Let's get the neighborhood watches cracking and all that other stuff. But I'm telling you right now, the answer ain't having these people infringe upon your Second Amendment rights. That's not going to help nobody. You know what I mean?
That's the worst answer, bro. That's like multiple choice. The question is 1 + 1 and D is B. You know, everything else is a number, and answer D is the letter B. Like, when people are like, "Oh well, D is so stupid; it has to be right. Why would they put that on there? It's all good." You know, that's how I feel. The older generation, as with at least this administration, and Obama administration,
they kind of sleeping, man. Whenever you get a Democrat, that's why it kills me, man. People still do this partisan thing. Like, it's like whenever you get whatever your people in office is, and the Republicans do it too. Like, whenever a Republican office now these people that's on the Republican side, they go to sleep and don't care. You know what I mean? Because 45, he did some laws to restrict Second Amendments too. He did the bump stock ban and all that. So now you got a Democrat in office. So now all these people, oh, we good now. We going to sleep. We going to talk about Cardi B and the NBA playoffs and you know what's going on. Like, you fall asleep. Like, these are just like your people, like your cousin in office. Say, oh, my cousin got it. We good. I'm finna go to the crib. These same people that were so vocal before November, I don't see a political post at all no more. Yo,
I don't see Van Jones crying no more. And shit ain't get no better.
She ain't get no better.
Why you ain't crying still? Why, you know, same shit still going on, if not probably a little worse. I think I read an article. They said like Kamala Harris cabinet is like the worst cabinet. Like, people that worked in the White House, they said she's running like the worst vice president.
Oh, that woman, boy, when she gets it, and she's going to get in that chair because this dude is gone. But she's going to get in that chair. You're really going to see some, you're going to see some work. I'm telling you right now, you're talking about somebody who kept a dude on death row because of a technicality and argued that they need California prisoners because they need workers, slave labor. You're going to see some work. You know what I mean? I seen one of them one of them press conferences where the dude asked her like something about like, oh, why you haven't been to the border? Y'all was talking so much about the border. She's like, I haven't been to Europe either. Like, what?
That's crazy.
Like, that's crazy. She don't get, you think you give zero F's, bro. She don't not.
She don't care. She don't care. You know, and that's probably one of the only things I really like about her as far as that, you know, she's pretty blunt about what she does. It's just kind of disturbing that black women be like, well, you know, she went to Howard, you know, it's
like, she's a Delta or whatever, which one, yeah, like, you know, coming up the rock. She good.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, Tupac. Yeah, I just bought his last album last week, man. I got Tupac concert tickets. You know, that's how she said. She said something about Pac. Oh, like he wasn't dead, or like she didn't even know he was dead. You know, like, it's like
she's talking about smoking blunts, listening to Tupac, who album hadn't even came out when she was in college. But you know, it's all exactly.
Good. Well, you know, good, and she's pretty. You know, because that's one thing is, you know, Obama was a handsome guy, right? Compared to a lot of the other presidents. Kamala Harris is beautiful. Kamala Harris is a beautiful woman. You know, you can't take away her beauty or her academic achievements or even her professional achievements, despite being a plight in to the black community as far as black men. But, you know, I think...
I'm sorry, bro. She ain't black, bro. Like, I'm gonna get some hate for this, but I'm shout out to the ADOS and the FBA, bro. She is not an African American woman, yo.
Yeah, she's not. What was she? Indian?
She's Indian, and I want to say her daddy's Jamaican and something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And if you go through a heritage, I want to say, she had slave owner, you know, relatives. You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm gonna bring it back to that. I think I'm gonna say this. Black people need to read Destruction of a Black Civilization. Get it on Amazon. It should be required reading in every household, and it will break down all this stuff to you, yo. This whole one drop rule and all this other stuff is detrimental to the community, yo.
But black women identify with her.
That's true.
Right. So unfortunately, they pushed her to the forefront, right? I think because, like, to me, why wouldn't women want Elizabeth Warren on the ticket? I would much rather have Elizabeth Warren than Kamala Harris, right? Like,
what's the neither button at? I want the neither the above button. But I have multiple choice and none of these. Yo, I'll say if you gonna go that route, you might as well go Nina Turner, man. Nina Turner go hard to paint. You know what I mean? She may be a socialist like a motherfucker, but she don't take no mess.
But you know, they went with the popular choice. At that point, they said we need somebody that we just going to put out there. It had nothing to do with politics at that point. It was all about getting Trump. But you know, in my opinion, like, Kamala Harris wasn't even popular.
Nah, so, she ain't get no delegates, yo.
Yeah, she ain't get nothing, but right. But like black women, Latino women, minority women. I can't even say minority women. I think all women. really pushed her to the forefront. And despite, I know a lot of men were like, when you know, people started looking into their past, I know a lot of having conversations, it was like, I ain't vote for her. A lot of people went, a lot of black people, men I know, went Republican this year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they had a double. I wouldn't say particularly amongst black male. It was like double Republican, yo.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
A lot of a lot of posts where because they are Republican, they're trying to do like local votes that they can't vote Democrat. You know, they didn't do what they needed to do to switch to vote Democrat. Like they can't vote for their, you know, their local leaders because they're Republican. which is fucking hilarious,
man. I'm like, I'll vote for the party, leave me alone. I'd have voted like libertarian last week. I like whoever talking about leaving me the hell alone, bro. That's who I'm rocking with, yo. I'm like so sick of the two-party system. And Jen, it's a little off topic, but I'm just so sick of the two-party, because it don't matter who you get in, man. You're gonna get same you're gonna get same laws, you're gonna get same blowback, you're gonna get same ridiculousness, you know. The inflation, that's another thing that was on this topic too, is the inflation. Yo, I paid like $15 for like a foot long and a Gatorade the other day, yo. And I'm in the bread South. Like what happened to the $5? What happened to the $5 a foot? Why am I paying $15, yo, for a Gatorade? Not even a big joint either, bro. We talking 16 ounce, bro. Yeah, so it's coming down the pipe, man. I want to say energy up. We used to hit on this last podcast, what, 13% and climbing. So it's gonna get ugly out here.
And it's crazy, you know, just the aesthetics of you know, by going back to Biden, like I feel bad. It's almost like if you ever watch like Naruto, right? And one of the bad guys, Pain, you find out that the person that he's fighting is actually a puppet, and the other guy's like decrepit and like he's dying and all kind of stuff. I feel that way about our president. Like, it's like they're like forcing him to go. Like, I know he's like, I can't move my face today. My head hurt.
I want a nap.
I don't even remember how I got here. Dang,
where's the limo? Know?
Yeah, like he don't want to be there. He don't want to be there, and it's sad because we wouldn't, you know, we just ignored blatant signs of mental degeneration, just out of feelings and emotion. Just like going to a park, like a basketball court, right? And you need one, and the only other person there is your little brother and your grandfather. And your little brother's 16, and you like, man, Pop be all right. Throw him in there. And he getting dunked on. He getting crossed up. You see him go down. He caught an elbow. And we just like, man, Joe is our best hope. You know, it's like, I feel bad at this point. Like, we need to do better.
This is sad, yo. This is, like I said, the Tuskegee Airmen with the Tuskegee Experiment mix up. And it's just getting to the point where it's like, man, how long y'all going to keep this going, bro? Like, real talk, how long y'all going to give this dude, you know, what they get him, Adderall or whatever to get him? Like, it's just in the charade at this point, man. Like, we all know who's going to be in the chair. So go in and get in the chair. Let's get it over with. Let's get it cracking. You know what I mean?
Tuskegee Airmen, Tuskegee experiment, y'all all gonna get this COVID shit.
Yeah, you know them black folks, you know what I'm talking about. But let's go ahead and wrap it on that point, man. You know what I mean, we'll hit the Tupac joint later on. So go ahead, man. If you got anything you want to shout out, anything you want to you know, recommend, or any socials you want to give out, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I ran into a gentleman at the gym. He was selling a product that kind of spoke with me. If anybody know, I was courting Hurricane Michael in 2018, pretty much lost the crib. So this gentleman walked up to me and with his apparel. It's called Pace of One. And I bought a hat. You know, pretty much it's a dope hat. If you go to on IG, Pace of One, P-A-C-E of One, and follow him, you know, buy some apparel, pretty dope apparel. He's growing, he's putting that hats out. But his message was pretty much, you know, you move at your own pace and continue to move forward. And it kind of resonated with me. I wasn't in a good spot physically, mentally, emotionally. It wasn't too bad, but, you know, I just needed somebody, you know, it reminded me that I'm only in competition with myself and to put one foot in front of the other. So I'm shouting out his brand, Pace of One, on IG. Follow him, buy some merch, and tell him I sent you. Not so much so I can get a discount, but, you know, just so that way, you know, we're networking and communicating. He actually asked if he could come on the pod, too. He said he listened to an episode, was interested in coming on the pod and telling his story. You know, we'll see. We'll see if we can swing him in or something. Maybe we might have a couple other businesses come on and maybe do like an episode of people explaining their brand, the inspiration behind their brand, or maybe something like that. But yeah, Pace of One, dope stuff.
Word, that's dope. I don't really got nothing this episode, man, other than saying I appreciate all the listeners out there. Slowly growing, particularly on YouTube, man. Slowly going, getting like a subscriber a day, you know what I mean? So that's pretty dope. Shout out to all the guests who came on too, man. I've been having great response from some of those guest episodes we did. Hope to do a few more in the future and hope we get El Miguel back in here too to continue the conversation with, you know, some of the guests. I want to do kind of a roundhouse discussion type of deal. So I think that would be dope. So that's pretty much all I got, bro.
But though, if you look for the listeners, if you're interested, I know we primarily appreciate y'all rocking with us with the audio. But if it's something that you, you know, if you want to see video with the audio, you know, let us know. Let us know. Drop us some message. Drop us some comments on the page. Let us know if you would prefer the video. Maybe we can go in that direction. I know I'm a very private person, so I don't do video. Not that I'm scared to be on camera. I'm just a private guy. I know DA's kind of a private guy as well. But, you know, if you make it worth the while, donate to that Patreon. Okay, camera, I can get away with a 720 and put the rest. Maybe I might upgrade myself. Maybe I'll go get me a camera.
Yeah, we'll reveal our... Hey, donate and you'll get the reveals. Yeah. But on behalf of everybody here at the Harsh Reality Podcast, shout out to Ratu. Peace. Talk to y'all later.